It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great time. Chris Young's coming up in 20 minutes. We'll be talking with the Rangers president of baseball operations here on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Yankees in town tonight, buddy. 6:30 pregame, 7:05 first pitch. Big old series. So we got CY here coming up with you shortly. Here's Wolchuk with some NFL.
All right, we got joint practice tomorrow. My gosh, this is going to be incredible. Cowboys, Rams, they're getting it going. Gosh, I get excited for this. Hell, Brian, we got our first pre and post this Saturday. It's back.
How about
Football's
that?
Back.
How about
this
that?
Is amazing. I'm pumped. Yeah. Now, Matthew Stafford not going to be part of the joint practice for the Rams and Cowboys. Yeah, that's a bummer. So we know that Sean McVay has already ruled him out, said he's not going to be practicing. He's dealing with the bad back. So we're going to get Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to likely see the majority of the reps against the Cowboys starting defense tomorrow. I'm upset about it, but hey, maybe this will end up.
Matthew kind of carved us up a little bit last year when I was watching.
He did. But that's, you know, I want to see, you know, best on best, especially with this secondary. And you got a lot of guys that are trying to prove themselves, like Elam. Like, is this legitimate? Troy Pride Jr. has had some good moments, but is he going to be able to actually make that happen on game day? Andrew Booth, to me, is a guy that is a bad football player. But he's even had some okay moments out there on the practice field.
Yeah, he gave up a F.A. Domingo. Did you see that one?
He did. And that's a mismatch for him because Mingo's huge and he's tiny. So you should be looking like that. That's one where I'm keying on Mingo here. Go up there and you should be getting Andrew Booth. McQuamu has the Cheeto deal going on
right
now.
He is very Cheeto right now. He's very close to making a play and then not making a play.
Like, Izzy McQuamu in position and everyone's going up and making catches on him.
I was sad to see Christian Mathieu, who they've signed. He'd made a couple of plays at camp, and then he was walking off the field today.
Did we get any update on what's going on?
I need to ask about it.
Because you're right. I mean, his first couple of practices, I was like, wow, this Christian Mathieu guy, they just signed off the street.
Guy gets right off the couch and is like knocking the ball away and stuff, and then next thing you know, he's walking with Jim Maurer to the tent.
Playing well, but we're not going to get to see Stafford, so it'll be Garoppolo throwing to Davante Adams. We know how bad that relationship was.
I mean, team-wide, it's not a big day to evaluate. You don't have Micah, right? So if the Cowboys get scored on tomorrow, that's fine. I'm just hoping that Elam can go up against somebody new and look good. I'm hoping Ezeraku can, you know, ghost the tackle a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping the linebackers show that they're flowing well to the ball off of this Eberflus front. So there's a lot of things to evaluate. I don't care if it's Garoppolo or Stafford. I just need to see guys winning individual battles.
Yeah, we'll see who ends up going out there at wide receiver. You got Puka, of course, Davante Adams, Tutu Atwell. I mean, Jordan Whittington, that's a good route runner that we got to see at Texas, and he stepped up, had himself a nice end of the season last year for the Rams. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait. Now, a move that kind of went underreported was Paris Campbell being placed on season-ending IR for the Cowboys.
He busted up his knee, didn't he?
He did. And they ended up also waiving Matt Waletzko. So you've got
waived him injured.
So Paris Campbell clears, and I, waived injured. And I mean, let's be honest. Waletzko wasn't making the football team anyway.
No, but see, they waive you injured because what they'll do is they waive you injured and you come back. Say you clear waivers. Then they put you back on injured reserve. And then they negotiate you off. They give you a couple of game checks and then you move on. So he won't be with us anymore.
So it kind of works out for the player.
Yeah, it works out for the player because he's a veteran guy. They'll negotiate like a couple checks, and then they'll push him to the side.
Well, they needed to open a room to officially sign Lyle Collins, who just talked with reporters, and then they brought in another
tackle. Watched a little bit at right tackle on those clips.
Yeah, he looked solid.
He was okay. I thought there was one time there was like a quick pressure, but it wasn't him. It's like, oh, thank God.
Is that LC? Yeah. I mean, first practice in a year.
Yeah,
he's. I wonder how much playing time he's going to get Saturday. I hope maybe a lot.
Well, they said they're going to ramp him up, so that means he'll probably get some work tomorrow, and then we'll see how he holds up.
Can I just ask, why is he here? Is it just veteran depth, and we'll see if something is it because he's friends with Dak?
Like, I think he legitimately. I think at 32 years old, that they're going to see if he still has it.
Has he never played left tackle?
No, he's played left tackle, but right now he's playing right. Will said he's going to play both.
Okay.
Will says he's going
to
play guard.
It's just right tackle to start.
Yeah, right tackle just to start. That's where it might be a little bit of a situation too. Steele has been getting work. Maybe Steele's ankle, you know, they're just trying to protect himself a little bit.
And they do need a guy that can provide that veteran leadership.
I mean, Dinigy was good over there when Steele was out,
and he can be a veteran leader. Like he's gotten everything. He says he's lighter than he's been since high school.
Yeah,
he's
looks to be in good shape.
He matches the culture now. He works. I would just be in a hurry to see if he could play left tackle. I don't want to waste any reps at right because the opportunity is what if Guyton does take 6 weeks? Mm-hmm. And I think it's much more likely that you will need him at left tackle than any of the other spots, maybe all of them put together.
Maybe they'll get there. Maybe that's where they'll
be. It could be.
Maybe they'll get there.
Yep. Commanders said that they have no intentions of trading Terry McLaurin. They're working towards a deal per Dan Graziano. We'll see how that thing develops.
What'd they say? A deal's coming?
They're working towards one. And, hey, their general manager said we're going to do anything. Adam Peters, we're willing to do whatever it takes. I think that probably does get done, just like I think the Micah deal gets done. But, gosh, I would have loved Terry McLaurin to get traded. Whew. You guys pay any attention to the Hall of Fame speeches over the weekend?
I cannot.
I thought you'd maybe watch Sterling Sharpe's.
I love Sterling Sharpe. I really do. I just, he was such a joy to work with. But I just, in general, I can't watch award shows like that when they have to give speeches. And those speeches are so long. They've tried to call them back, but they can't.
They'll start to play the music, and they're like, no,
they're
no.
Like, they're like,
I'm not done yet.
And they keep talking about, you know.
It goes, I'm going to do that Michael Jordan thing. Shout out to the dude that wouldn't let me in the gym. Look at me now. Yeah. Yeah. See your face.
Yeah. I just can't.
My high school basketball coach, D's nuts are for you.
Freaking idiot.
Yeah. D's nuts.
I think the thing is like when it's not your player, there's references to stuff you don't know usually. And then when it is your player, you've heard 98% of these stories before. Yeah. You know, so it's a tough thread. Like it was on when we were at the airport restaurant getting ready, and that's literally all I saw of it.
I went back and saw a couple of highlights from it, but it was Mary Kay Cabot who might have had the best joke of the weekend, and she
present somebody.
No, she was accepting the Bill Nunn Memorial.
Oh, she
Award.
Was the writer award.
Yes, and so she got
Bill
to
Nunn
speak at the Pro Football Hall of Fame Gold Jacket dinner on Friday night, and she had a nice zinger for Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick was the first Browns coach I ever covered. You see, if you start out with Bill Belichick, no one can rattle you after that. If Bill didn't like something I wrote, he'd call and yell at me. If you asked a dumb question, he'd call you out. Eventually, I had to learn to stand up to him. During one of those yelling matches, I told him, if you don't have the footballs to say that to the guys, then don't say it to me. Bam.
Got him.
Oh, that's not the best part.
Buddy, how about that, mister?
But now, I totally understand why Bill gave me such a hard time. I was 28 at the time, and he just couldn't relate to a woman that old.
Well done, Mary Kay.
Wow, what a roast, bro.
Fantastic.
I can't believe she did that.
Yeah, the football's on her, man. She just crushed it.
She clearly really has balls.
That was good. That was good. Now, the Colts, they have listed Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones as co-starters to begin the preseason, but I just saw an update from one of the Colts beat writers that it's neither of those two that have been the best quarterback in camp. It's Riley Leonard.
I did not like Riley Leonard at
all. Oh, he can't throw the football.
I did not like
him. But the quote was,
they won a lot of games with him, though.
Dang near perfect. When Riley Leonard, who, look, could be so wrong. You never know with quarterback evaluation. But this is just how bad the Colts could be this year. Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones, both not good. Riley Leonard is the guy they're hyping up behind the scenes. Just a really bad, bad situation there in Indy. It's also bad. We played one cut from Mike McDaniel earlier in Miami. This was his press conference earlier today. It's a really good morning for Mike.
You should stand corrected. Good morning. False. Great morning. Let's go.
Why great? What makes this one great?
Because we're another day closer to death.
Holy hell.
Yeah, I mean, that's some good life perspective. Like, I'm going to wake up and try to intentionally speak this into existence, that it's a good day. I kind of see what he's got cooking there, and that's the core of the good morning, great morning guy. Like, if you're a great morning guy, you're trying to set the tone and be intentional with your stuff, and I get it. But, dude, he's starting to sound, like, depressed and melancholy. Yes. It doesn't matter.
He knows he's done.
I'm on this crappy team. The players don't like me. The media fans don't like me. Whatever. How about this? Ha ha. Yeah.
Another day closer to death. Wow. Bad news for Texas. Longhorn fans, I apologize for this update. Andre Kojo has suffered what is feared. Now, this is feared to be, Ian Rappaport, a torn ACL in practice today. Kojo was competing with Brandon Baker to be the starting right tackle for the Horns this year. Third-year sophomore from Mansfield Timberview, so local product. I don't think he was going to win the job. I think this would have been Baker's gig, but that's still a big-time offensive lineman lost. Now, week one, first ever 1-2 matchup as Texas comes in as the coaches poll's number one overall team against the number two ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. And we go to the Cowherd Show. As Steve Sarkisian was on with the Cowherd himself, and how the hell are you going to go ahead and defend Jeremiah Smith at wide receiver?
You know, it's interesting. I had a chance to coach Julio Jones for 2 years in Atlanta. Reminds me a lot of him. So big and physical, but yet fast. I mean, cover ground, so strong at the point of attack when the ball's in the air. You see the ability to make contested catches. And I do think at the end of the day, that's where your attention needs to be. But hey, they got really good coaches. He's going to be moving around. He's not going to be lining up in one position all the time. Ideally, you've got multiple people with eyes on him and guarding him. But you still have to play great team defense, and you got to have the ability to stop the run, and you got to cover the two other wideouts they have, who are two really good players too. So I do think a multitude of things that you can do well, but you better know where number four is at all times.
I can't wait to see what they do. Now, last year it was Jahdae Barron who did shut down Jeremiah Smith in that Cotton Bowl. He had one catch for 3 yards. Jeremiah Smith has remembered that. He said, quote, "I'm definitely hyped about this one, especially with how things went last year. Things people have been saying about me, about that game I had. I'm definitely hungry for this one for sure." The question is the quarterback there. I'm not sure, you know, that could be the weakness for Ohio State. Still undetermined who's going to start. But that's going to be a hell of a matchup for Texas. How in the world are they able to defend Jeremiah Smith, whom they had a lot of success against last year, because you still have Carnell Tate coming back. That's another stud out there, but I can't wait for this matchup.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Terrific stuff. And yeah, not knowing who their quarterback is historically, not that much of an issue for Ohio State. They'll get it figured out, and they could probably win a lot of games, whoever they pick. We got CY coming up next. Rangers GM joins us. We'll talk about what they added, where it goes from here, and what is the latest on Josh Young, who it appears has dodged an IL stint. CY's coming up next here as they host the Yankees tonight, 6:30 pregame on The Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for the Chris Young Show here on The Fan, pregame 6:30 tonight. Yankees are in town, and the CY Show is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. And a good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you all?
We're doing wonderful. Thank you. Excited about this series and this week of Rangers baseball. And Nathan Eovaldi, pitcher of the month, making history. Just what he did is so unprecedented. I guess some guys can get better with age. Is that what we're seeing here, CY?
Well, you know, I think it is. I think really what we're seeing with Nate is the physical talent combined with the mental side, and just a pitcher really who's at his absolute best. It's just so fun watching him pitch and to see the way he's evolved, and maybe not doing it the way that he did earlier in his career in terms of the velocity, but really just the pitchability and reading hitters and being able to mix and match and do different things. It's just fun to watch. I love watching him every fifth day.
Yeah, with age in mind, he and DeGrom in the final couple of months, and I do want to just get your thoughts on the ERA for Jake post July 1. I guess it's over 4, and if that's your worst 4-week stretch, you're golden. But how do you look at that and less success than the previous 3 months, and, you know, coming down the stretch here, are you going to change their pattern of routines or schedule in any way?
Well, I think we've been really good about monitoring their workload, not just the days they pitch, but really in between starts, making sure they get extra days rest, using the all-star break to our advantage and pushing Jacob back further in the week. And, you know, doing little things here and there to make sure that they get as much rest as possible. You know, and I think that I don't want to, make too much of Jacob's last two outings that have kind of inflated his numbers. He's been so good so year. He sets such a high standard. But pitchers are allowed to have starts where they're not their best. And I think we saw that the last couple times. Is it a fatigue issue, or is it just one of those things that over the course of the season, you're going to hit a stretch where you don't pitch your best and all of a sudden you come out of it? And, my expectation for Jacob is that he's going to bounce back and get right back to where he's been. He feels great. He says that he's recovering well, and that it's just really a pitch execution issue. And so if he gets back to executing pitches, my thoughts are that he's going to finish strong here. But obviously, everything's under a microscope, given the health there, and we want to make sure that we continue to monitor his health and do everything we can to set him up for success. And if he does need extra rest, then we'll find a way to do that. But right now, he's still checking all the boxes in terms of the things that we're identifying and looking for to make sure he's at his best. And, it just happened to be that he had a couple bad starts there. But again, we're going to be very vigilant and protect those guys as much as possible while balancing what we need to do to push to win this thing.
CY, your club's obviously right in the thick of it in terms of the playoff hunt, and I think the biggest question that I've seen from fans is really just how long of a leash can you still have for Jock Peterson as this thing is so competitive down the stretch and wins and losses are really at a premium?
Yeah, it's a fair question, and I get it. Trust me, it's something we discuss internally in terms of how are we going to be able to get the best out of Jock. And in fairness to Jock, he got off to a really tough start at the beginning of the season, and then he was coming out of it. I think he had a 2-week stretch right before he was hurt where he was starting to perform and was about 20% above league average offensively, and then he got hurt. And he was out for a long period of time, almost 2 months, and then we've kind of accelerated his rehab to get him back in the lineup, knowing how good he is when he's healthy. That said, he's still not in midseason form. He doesn't have his timing. His at-bats aren't where we expect him to be and where we need him to be. And so it's a very delicate balance of really trying to give Jock the runway he needs to find his timing and get going, but also doing what's best for the team in terms of performance. And I've said before, it's a performance-based game. And, there will come a time where we probably have to pivot a little bit and reduce playing time if the performance doesn't start here soon. So, Boach and I have had these conversations. We'll continue to have it. But we do believe in Jock. We know how good he is. We need him to be the good version of himself for us to compete. But that version needs to come soon here. So we're working through it. We're, trying to be supportive, but also recognizing the frustration that the fans and everybody feels. We all want him to perform, and we know how hard it is for him when he's not performing as well. So we're trying to find the right answers here, and trust me, we're on it as much as we can be.
Let's see why this. You get some bad injury news about. Well, it's not bad, but as far as a terminal thing or anything like that. But with Josh Young and another setback with him, can you kind of walk us through just the struggles that he's had, and then of staying healthy, and then how the organization deals with that.
Yeah, well, it's something I think that we have been able to deal with just by building out the depth a little bit. Obviously, JJ's an important piece, and we need him. Recently here, this calf issue has lingered a little bit longer than we had hoped. We're at a point where we probably need to make a decision on whether he goes on the IL or whether he's made enough progress that we feel confident he's close to returning to play. I think most importantly, we want to make sure that we nip this in the bud and it doesn't happen again. It doesn't get worse, because with these injuries, if you don't give them enough time, it can get worse. And he's an important piece to our team, so we don't want to lose him for an extended period. That said, if he's close to being ready, we'd like to keep him alive and get him back out there as soon as possible. But, I think with Josh, this is something we've seen, that there are going to be some times over the course of the season where he gets a little dinged up, and we're going to have to give him a rest. But My hope is that this one is not too serious and he's close to being back out there. The report I've received so far today is that it is better than yesterday and he's closer to returning to play, but we do need to make a decision in terms of, you know, how long we can keep him alive and, you know, not need that extra spot on the bench.
How'd you guys look at Robert Garcia and the situation Friday and Saturday? Is that just something that happens to good closers? Is it a fluid situation in any way?
Yeah, there's no closer in baseball that's been perfect this year. So that's the first thing to say. You know, there's high expectations and it's, you know, anytime a closer blows a game, it's under a microscope because you lose the game in that moment, but there are plenty of games that are blown in the, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh innings where the pitcher doesn't get the job done. Just unfortunately as the closer, it's the last thing everyone remembers. So, you know, Robert's had a great season. He's really been wonderful. He's been a great addition to our bullpen and just tough timing on those two games in Seattle. You know, we did come back and win one of them, which was great. The guys picked him up, and the night before was just a really tough way. It was so quick the way it went with base hit, then homer about two pitches later. So it just all happened so fast, and it was tough, obviously, in a big series. But Robert's going to be a key piece to our success down the stretch here. You know, it's just been a lot of fun watching him compete and get better as the season's gone. And, you know, I think we're close to getting Chris Martin back here, hopefully in the next, you know, week to 2 weeks. And when we get Chris back, we're going to have just one more option in terms of how we close out games. It may not be a designated closer, so to speak, more of a closer by committee and putting these guys in the best position with the best matchups. But I am very confident that Robert Garcia can get the final three outs on any given day.
Well, you were able to add bullpen depth at the deadline, Merrill Kelly as well, to the rotation there. I mean, Thursday was wild for us just watching on social media. I can't imagine what it was like for you. What were your thoughts on the deadline? Were there any other potential deals maybe for a bat that you were close to but just didn't make happen?
Yeah, it was a wild day, you know, really a wild, you know, 96 hours leading into the deadline. And for a while there, things just weren't coming to fruition and involved on a number of fronts in a number of different ways. But, you know, our jobs are to make this team as good as possible and look for ways to try to improve. And, you know, the trade deadline is kind of the last period at which the front office can make some changes to the roster. There's small things that we can do the rest of the season, but this is the group we have. And so it was very important that we did our best to upgrade this team. And we feel like we did that. We attacked our pitching. We felt like the best way for us to continue to compete and to win this division was going to be to improve our pitching and really fortify the rotation and improve the bullpen. We struck out on the back end of the closing market, but that's okay. We feel very good in the group we have. Our bullpen's been tremendous this year. And by getting two veteran arms in Phil Maton and Danny Coulomb, we feel like we've, you know, really lengthened our pen and shortened games, so to speak. And, you know, I think we saw that this weekend with the way the pen pitched. It was really, really impressive. Those guys have done such a great job. And as I mentioned, we're going to get Chris Martin back in that mix at some point, too. So, you know, the hope is we get Josh Spores later in the summer here. You know, Tyler Mahle is doing well on his rehab or in throwing progression. So, you know, we feel like we're going to get stronger from a pitching standpoint and that strengthening our kind of biggest strength was going to be the best way to kind of keep our team involved in this race. And, you know, I'm excited to watch these guys pitch. They did a great job this weekend in Seattle. We kind of had the one tough game Thursday night with Kamar, but other than that, the games were super close and our pitching staff did a great job and we just unfortunately came up a little bit short.
You don't feel snake bit up there, do you? Like, how daunting would a playoff series against the Mariners be right now? I better have home field, right?
You know, it's a weird thing, but I just am not going to subscribe to it. I just really believe that if you play your best baseball, you can win anywhere. And you know, I had the experience in my career of pitching in tough road environments and you go in there and you make good pitches and you compete, you can win on any, you know, in any city, in any stadium, any environment. And so I'm just not going to give it the credit that maybe, you know, I just can't subscribe to that. We're snake bitten up there. I think that if we play better baseball, you know, we'll win and that's what we need to do. And so I'm not going to go up and I'm not going to I'm not going to let these guys go there if we have to go there in the playoffs and think that we can't win there. I just, to me, that's just not the mindset we need. I believe in our guys, and I believe that if we play our best baseball, we can beat anybody anywhere.
How close is Jake Berger to getting back, and what's kind of the timeline we're looking at here for Evan Carter with the back?
Yeah, Evan, he's on the 10-day IL. We'll see how the next few days go and how he responds to some treatment. He's got some back spasms there, something that we've dealt with in the past, and the hope is that we can get him some rest and that he'll be ready close to that 10-day mark, but it's going to be determined on how he responds these next few days. Jake's out on rehab right now, and he's played a couple games in AA. We're going to wait till Jake swings the bat to activate him. We got to make sure that he's not only from a health standpoint ready, but also he's ready to contribute, from an offensive standpoint. And I think that's one of the things we've learned with Jock, too, is that we maybe accelerated his rehab slightly and that he didn't get the number of at-bats he needed. And so when he came back, he's, still having to knock the rust off. And we don't want to do the same to Jake. So we're not going to make that mistake again. And we're going to make sure when he comes back, he's performing and ready to jump right in.
We took the air Thursday at 2 o'clock and nothing had happened yet. And I was starting to wonder, but then I had faith in you. I was like, I can't doubt my guy. You're the man, CY. Hell of a job.
No, I'll tell you this. It's a fun time of year. It's stressful. It's fun. But, sitting there and striking out on some things and coming up empty handed, none of us were happy with the idea that we were going to tell our fans that we weren't able to do much over the deadline. And then as things started to really pick up and materialize Thursday and really in a short period of time, there was a big adrenaline rush and we felt like, okay, this is what we've been waiting on. But, you just work on so many different avenues and deals that, often don't materialize that it's to sit there empty handed for a period of time was frustrating. But in the end, we felt like we were able to make this team better. And our hope is that now this comes together. If we can hit the way we hit and continue pitching the way we want to and have this season, I really believe this team can make a good push here and our best baseball can be at the right time.
How do you feel about the Yankees now? Do you hate them like the rest of us? Or
Look, they're just the next opponent, and we've got to go win. We've got to go play good baseball, and I just don't want to put too much into any one series. I just want to day in, day out, stay steady, stay level, go play our best baseball. And if we do that, I think the results will take care of themselves.
Hey, CY, I'm going to be real honest with you. I didn't think that ownership would allow you to do what you were going to do. And if you could kind of talk through that, and I know you have support from them and stuff, but I know me, I was thinking, man, this guy can go make some moves. I was just worried that ownership wasn't going to allow you to make the moves that you felt like you needed to make.
No, thank you for saying it. I think ownership has been wonderful in terms of giving us the resources that we need to put a competitive team out on the field. And when the time was necessary, when we needed to do a little bit more, they stepped up and provided us even more resources. And so I just can't say enough about our ownership group and Ray Davis and his partners in terms of giving us the support we need. And, we want to be responsible. And we realize that we're not in a market that, we can spend where the Dodgers or Mets or some of these other teams are. But that said, we are a big market and we've got an opportunity here with some of these players in the prime of their career. And that if we can do a little bit more to make this team better and increase our playoff chances, we should do that because it's what our fans deserve. And Ray has been unbelievable in supporting us in that manner and very grateful for his confidence and willingness to do so.
See, why, how can we help you though? Can we, butts in the seats, is that kind of something that always makes ownership maybe look a little different, buy more merch? How do we help? I mean,
I love our fans, and I we've got tremendous fans, and really it's our job to give our fans a reason to come out. It's our job to put a winning product out on the field and get our fans excited. And for me, if we do that, our fans will show up and support us in a tremendous fashion, just like they always have. And so, I look in the mirror and say, we've got to do our job. We got to go win. And if we win, our fans will be there. So I appreciate the question. Really the biggest thing I could ask for when our fans come to the game is to be rowdy, into the game, be rowdy. The players feel the energy when, sometimes the game's decided in the fifth inning. It doesn't have to be the ninth inning. And so you know, when the fifth inning rolls around and we've got runners on base and it's a big moment in the game that may decide the game, get into it. Get let them hear you and let those players know you're behind them, because they feel that. They love that energy, and it doesn't have to be just late in the game. So just, you know, come out, be rowdy, be supportive. Our players will rally around that. And but we have the best fans. I love our fans, and it's our job to make them proud and to give them a reason to come out, and that's our goal, to continue to do that.
Rangers Yanks, 7 o'clock tonight here on the Fan CY. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Guys, thanks so much. Good talking to you.
Salute. There he goes, the Rangers president of baseball operations here on 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. And we're back with Jared Sandler here in the Nation. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's great to be back in Texas as Jared Sandler joins us now, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Preview this Rangers-Yankees series. Pregame's coming up at 6:30. First pitch at 7 o'clock. What do you think about CY saying we're not snake bit up there? He refuses to buy into it. Is that it? I don't know. I think you saw this weekend and the weird things that kept popping up, whether it's a base running error or, you know, a guy who's clutch blowing save two nights in a row. I think sometimes it can be in your head and just makes you a little bit uneasy and you're thinking too much in big moments.
I mean, I'm not surprised he said that, right? Like, when you're in a sports organization, like, you got to just pretend this is not real. We're capable of going and winning there. But, yeah, I think from our perspective, it's like weird things happen, and you've won one game in a year there. There's got to be a little something to it. It's a tough park to play in. You don't always hit great. The pitching's been a little bit hit or miss. In Seattle now, the moves that they made, man, they might be in the driver's seat to win this division.
They just might be, as Jared Sandler joins you now here on The Fan. And, Jared, how the heck are you?
I'm great, guys. How are y'all?
Doing wonderful. Had any of the players said anything about their bad luck in Seattle? Or is this just a media thing?
No, I mean, I think some of them know. You know, we had a sacrificial bucket on Saturday out on the field for pregame.
It worked.
We had some players donate. It worked, yeah. We had some players donate to it. They're aware. I don't think they think of it the way that we do. You know, anytime something goes wrong, it's like, well, but it, you know, in Seattle, like, this is going to happen. I don't think they think of it like that. I think they just think of it, gosh, why can't we beat these guys? You know, and, obviously, both are appropriate and fair, because it does seem like wacky things happen in Seattle. I mean, heck, Merrill Kelly did two things in his sixth inning that we might never see him do again, that he's maybe never done before. And then, you know, Jacob DeGrom pitches yesterday, and, you know, the Rangers lose a game in which he starts against the guy named Logan Evans, who, you know, I don't know, 8 times out of 10, the Rangers probably win that game. So, this isn't like losing in Oakland when the Rangers were really good and the Oakland A's were not. The Mariners are a really, really good team. And, you know, in theory, when you are a really good team, you play a 4-game series at home, you expect to win 3 of 4. Now, if you're a really good team and you're the road team, you expect to win 2 out of 4. And the Rangers thought they were in a position to do that and obviously weren't able to get that done.
How much money ended up in the bucket, and what do they do with it?
Well, yeah, I wish there was money that was donated to the bucket. It wasn't money. We had seeds and various items that were put in the bucket, and they were sacrificed to the gods. And it brought the Rangers a win on Saturday, thanks to the baseball gods and some timely hitting late in the game.
Might have to think about doing that every BP in Seattle.
I mean, maybe. We did leave. One of the donations was a Beetlejuice figurine, and we left the figurine. The gods rejected the figurine out of the idea that maybe leaving it there will provide continued bad luck for the Mariners at home. So,
okay.
Obviously, the Rangers aren't there the rest of the way, but there is a Beetlejuice figurine that was left on the premises that will hopefully strike down some bad luck,
dude,
for the Mariners as they finish up the season.
This could spawn a rally Beetlejuice for us. How good is this?
Let's go.
I'm in.
Okay, I'll get my sign making materials out for this homestand. What is the state of this Yankees team? Is it turning into a frustrating year for them as well?
Yeah, it is. I told Hicksy this on air yesterday. I don't like when a team begins a series coming off a series in which they just got swept, because, you know, you figure they're going to turn it around. You don't want it to be at your expense, but you know, the Yankees are without Aaron Judge today. There's a chance he comes back tomorrow. They're a very fundamentally unsound team. Now, they hit a lot of home runs. They score a lot of runs in general, but they throw the ball around all over the place. Their defense was really kind of an issue last year. It was brought to light by the Dodgers, but, you know, hasn't really gotten a whole lot better. Their lineup has been really struggling lately, but they're going to start Max Fried, who's a Cy Young contender, and then on Wednesday they're going to start Carlos Rodon, who's probably not a Cy Young contender, but a rung and a half below that, and both those guys are lefties, and the Rangers have struggled against lefties. They've been better lately, but they have struggled against lefties, and then Will Warren will start tomorrow. So the Yankees also beefed up their bullpen on paper. They've got one of the best bullpens in baseball, but all three of the guys they acquired, you know what, at the bed in their first outing, and that was one of the losses to the Marlins. So they didn't pitch well, and we've seen this before. Guys go to the Yankees, they pitch with the pressure of being a New York Yankee, and it's different results, but on paper, it's still a really good bullpen. And a lineup that can slug the ball.
With Josh Young DHing tonight, are we clear? Did we dodge a bullet here of him possibly going on the IL?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, you know, if they thought they needed the IL, they would have done it today because, you know, they'd be burning days in which, they couldn't retroactively place him. I think they already maybe would have lost a day, but there'd be no sense in keeping him on the active roster if he couldn't play today. So I think it's a good sign. I think the word yesterday was, you know, we need to keep seeing progress and we won't IL him. And here's the reality. Again, with four lefties scheduled to start against the Rangers this week, I mentioned the two for the Yankees. The Rangers are also slated to face Christopher Sanchez, who just pitched an absolute eight-inning gem against the Tigers last night on Sunday Night Baseball, and then Jesus Luzardo. They need Josh Young. They need a guy in the lineup who can hit right or hit lefties, and Josh can be that guy, along with Sam Haggerty, who kind of specializes against lefties. So I think, you know, if he was showing any ability to play, they wanted him in there, and I know Josh wants to be in there. So hopefully bullet dodge for sure.
How close are they to calling it with Jock Peterson, you think? Could it happen any day?
So, what's that?
Could it happen any day?
Yeah, so going back to the, you know, four of their six games this week will be lefty starters, so Jock won't start those four games. They'll only start two games this week. If they were all righties this week, I would say, hey, he's got this week, and, you know, I think they might be forced into a decision if things don't turn. I think because there's four lefty starters, he very well could play in all six games, pinch hitting, if the Rangers have meaningful opportunities against, bullpen arms in those games. But I think, you know, by the end of not this week, but next week, if things haven't started to turn, and it might not even be that long, they're going to have to do something just because they absolutely need to, you know, start getting production from that spot. Now, you know, the counter is, well, even when Jock was hurt, the Rangers weren't getting much out of their DH spot. So it's not like he's keeping someone who was on a tear from playing, but at the end of the day, he's got to produce, and he knows that. He took live batting practice today along with Jake Berger, which, you know, it's usually something you mostly see from guys trying to come back from the IL. He knows it. He's trying to put in the work as best as he can, but he's got to start hitting, and I think because they're facing four lefties this week, you know, that he won't get a ton of starts, a ton of at-bats, but next week, I don't know, you know, what they're going to face next week. I haven't looked that far ahead, starting with Arizona and then Toronto. I would say that he's got that next week at the latest. Otherwise, the Rangers are going to start making some changes, I'm sure.
Well, welcome back to Texas. Have some fun tonight, buddy, with the Yankees in town, 6:30 pregame, and we will chat with you tomorrow.
All right, fellas, take care.
He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter, a must-follow for Rangers fans on social. And it's time now for an edition of Football's Finest. Will Chuck, what's in store?
Would you do any of these trade proposals for Micah Parsons? And where does Dak get taken in a quarterback mock draft? That's next.